Hey, let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. No pans, no lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. How many people are from out of town? Are you from someplace cold? So you're feeling good right now, huh? Where are you from? Where? California. Where? Oh, Julian. It is cold. You come on down country. Come down to get some feed for your cattle up there. I was just up there the other day. Did your house okay? Good. Luke chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for being good to us. I remember being 4 and 5 and 6 years old, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, going to bed, staying awake till 2, sleeping 2 hours, getting up, running down in my pajamas, ripping presents open by 5, being back to sleep by 6. And I remember sitting there under the tree, next to the tree, thinking, 365 more days. And Lord, here we are, 43 years, Christmases, here we are, another Christmas. And we pray that this Christmas would be more special than all the others, because this Christmas we're going to make a commitment to God like we never have before. And we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all remember those Christmases? We used to have, I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters, and we were all born within 5 years. 6 years. So it was 5 of us were born in 6 years. So there was a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 6, something like that. And we used to take Christmas Eve, we were all in the bathtub at the same time. My mother was kind of saving water and time. So it was 5 of us in the bathtub. My father went outside the window of the bathroom and said, ho, ho, ho. And we all jumped out of the tub, butt naked, running through the house. I do remember Christmas, getting up and always thinking, being depressed about 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock, thinking you got to wait a whole nother year. And it seems like they go by quick now. But we want to look at Luke chapter 1. We'll look at a story. The story from an angel's perspective. And if you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed or engaged to a man who was named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive and in your womb bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Everyone say Jesus.
Jesus.
You know, some of y'all will never say Jesus the same again. It's like, whose name your savior? Jesus. And he will be great and will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, your maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me as according to your word. And the angel departed from her. It's a very simple story. It's about an angel who came down from heaven, Gabriel, sent by God to tell Mary what was going to happen. Now, I want to tell you a couple things about angels. Angels were beings created by God. An angel could not do anything but do what God told them to do. They were messengers, and they still are messengers, and they still serve you and I. But this angel could not do anything but tell Mary what God told her to tell him. Matter of fact, look at verse 19 of chapter 1. It says, Gabriel says, the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. He's speaking to Zacharias. But he said, listen, I stand before God. I don't know about you, but I just was finished talking to God 10 minutes ago. It only took me 10 minutes to come down here from heaven. And I'm telling you what God said. And so an angel can only tell. Matter of fact, this same angel spoke to Daniel over 600 years before this. These angels lived a long time forever. And this angel spoke to Daniel, and now he's speaking to Mary, and this angel still exists today. And so here's this angel telling Mary things. And when we look at some of the things he told her, first, she's going to tell Mary that she has favor with God, that she's been a good girl. Now, there's a song we sang in the first service. We had a service here at 6 o'clock. I'm not a singer, so y'all got to help me. It's a Santa Claus song. You better watch out. You know that song? Y'all know that song? Okay, let's sing that together, okay? One, can someone give me a note? Me. You ready? You better watch out. You better not shout. Better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Boom, cha-boom. Out in the nice, Santa Claus is coming to town. Boom, boom, cha-boom. He knows that he's sleeping. He knows. Okay, reason we sing that song? Because it says in the song, he knows when you're sleeping and he knows if you've been good or bad. Jesus knows if you've been good or bad. That's a fact. Now here's what's happening. This angel came down to tell Mary, you've been good. And this angel came down to tell Mary, you've been so good that the Son of God is going to be in your womb. Why did God pick her? Well, the Bible says she's highly favored. I mean, we'll find out when we get there. But for some reason, out of all the young girls, teenage girls, by the way, this was a teenage girl, that God picked her for her, his son to be born through. You never know what God wants to do in your life. You have no idea sitting here right now what God has to do. I know I'm in ministry. I know I'm supposed to be a pastor. I know I'm supposed to do crusades. But I still don't even know all that God wants to do, but I am very excited about it because it's always good. My only job is to be obedient to him. Your only job is to be obedient to him, and one day you're going to get a message. Maybe 3 days, 4 days, God's going to bless you every day and say, here's what I want to do in your life, and here's what this angel said. He said, listen, I stand in the presence of God. I can only tell you what I heard. I'm not making this up. You are highly favored of the Lord, and guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to have a baby. Look in the Bible. It says in the Bible, in verse 31, it says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Jesus. Your son is going to have a name that a whole lot of people are going to, matter of fact, your son is going to have a name that everybody on the planet Earth is going to bow down to one day. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some of those people are going to confess onto salvation, and some of them are going to confess onto damnation. That's your son. I can go to high school when it opens up any day and speak to an assembly. I could talk about just about anything I want, but I cannot say that word, Jesus. And I've had principals come up to me, and they know I'm a pastor, and they'll come to me, and right before I get to speak, kids are coming in and getting ready to introduce me, and they'll come to me all kind of nervous and say, well, you know, separation of church and state, and you know, they want to tell me this, that I can't say Jesus' name, can't say God, and so I let them talk. I don't bail them out by saying, I know what you're talking about. I just stand there and go, what do you mean? You know, make it clear. Well, you know, you really can't. You know, separate church state. We don't have any parents. What do you mean? Well, you know, you can't say, you know, God. You can't say Jesus. It's an offensive name. Mary, your son, a lot of people are going to have issue with him. He's going to have a powerful, powerful name. Now, we know the Bible gives Jesus many names. Faithful and true. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, Prince of Peace, the Word of God, the Bread of Life, the Resurrection and the Life, on and on and on and on. But the one name. Matter of fact, we saw last week, Sunday, 3 days ago, in Revelation 19, that Jesus has a name that nobody knows. He says, I have a name no one knows, except Him. And we're going to find that out later on, I assume, when we get to heaven. But this name, this is the name that stumbles people. That stumbles people. She said, and so the angel said, that's going to be your son's name. The next thing it says in verse 32, he is going to be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, there will be no end. When I was growing up, Muhammad Ali was the greatest. And even today, they say Muhammad Ali is the second most most recognized face, but the second most popular human next to Jesus. I don't know if he's second, but he ain't first. He may be fifth, he may be tenth, he may be second, but he ain't first. The true great one is not Wayne Gretzky, and the greatest is not Ali. The Bible says that Jesus will be great. Mary, your son. We all think our kids are great. Amen. Well, there was a time we thought our kids were great. But the older they get, we realize we were wrong. Mary, your son is going to be great. Your son is going to live 30 years before he gets in ministry. He's going to be the perfect kid. All the little Jewish honeys in Bethlehem, they're going to like your son. He's going to be the perfect gentleman. He's going to pull out the seats to everybody and then put it back in. He ain't going to leave it out and let them fall on the ground. He's going to put his coat down in the mud. He's going to be polite to the teachers. He's going to know what everyone's thinking. He's going to heal people on the slide. Whap, people got a cold. Whap, he's going to heal all your kids for you. He's going to be a great babysitter. He's going to be a great kid. But his true greatness is going to begin at the age of 30 when he gets baptized. And he has a 3-year ministry. He's going to heal blind people, Mary. He's going to heal deaf people, Mary. He's going to heal crippled people. He's going to heal lepers. He's going to forgive the unforgivable, love the unlovable, and touch the untouchable. He's going to walk on water. He's going to cast out demons. He's going to raise the dead. Mary, he's going to do amazing things. And you know what, Mary? People are going to still hate him. They're still not going to trust him. He's never going to tell a lie. He's going to teach the Pharisees in the temple at 12. He's going to be wiser than anybody in the community. He's going to be the best kid on the soccer team. He's going to score all the touchdowns on the football team and then probably give them all away to somebody else. He is going to be great. But his greatest act is when he dies on the cross. You know what, Mary? They're going to beat him. They're going to pull his beard out. They're going to stick thorns in his head. And Mary, you're going to watch this whole thing happen. In the Passion movie, I got to watch the movie, The Passion of Christ, about a month ago. And all throughout the movie, they show Mary. They show Mary when Jesus was a little boy. And matter of fact, when she's watching him get beat, when she's watching him go through these false trials, when she's watching him get falsely accused, when she's watching him get arrested, she's having flashbacks to when he was a little kid. She's having flashbacks to when he was making a table in carpentry and how. And matter of fact, it was a funny scene where he makes a table and a hire so people can sit and eat at the table, and they ate on the floor. And she made this table where you could sit on a chair, and she says, "No one's ever going to use that because we eat on the floor." But she's having all these flashbacks, and then she watches him go through this false trial. She watches him get beat. She watches him get beat again. She watches him get falsely accused. She watches him carry the cross all the way up to where he gets crucified and then beat him. She's always there in the background. When they whipped him 39 times, it was in an area like this with a concrete floor, and all these soldiers stood around, and they handcuffed him to this block of concrete. He had no shirt on. And they stood around and whipped him till he was laying on the ground bleeding. And they pulled him out by his feet across his courtyard like this, blood all on the ground. And Mary was standing right there watching. Then they put the cross on him, and he walked up all the way up to where they crucified him, and they nailed him. She was there the whole time. Mary, your son's going to be great, because after they do all of that, you're going to take him down. It's going to break your heart. You're going to wrap him up. You're going to put him in a tomb, and you're going to think you're never going to see him again. But Mary, your son, after 3 days, is going to get up. Only your son. Buddha ain't getting up. None of the popes are going to get up. The Bhagwan, Confucius, they're not getting up. Your son is going to get up and walk around for 40 days, Mary. He's going to be great. Then he's going to send it to heaven. Mary, why is he going to do this? Because every person that's ever lived is a sinner, and every person is hopeless in their sin. You know, Mary, that the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the penalty of sin is death. That means every human is doomed to die and go to hell. Unless they had a sacrifice for their sin, a holy, perfect sacrifice. And Mary, your son is that sacrifice. Are you ready? That's your life, Mary. She's a teenager getting this put on her. She's not married. She's never been with a man intimately. How's she going to explain that? Imagine your daughter come home. Mom, I'm serious. We never did anything. Right. Where is this guy you never did anything with? And when the police come and he's dead, I'll tell him I never did anything. He just fell over. Mary, this is your life. Mary said at the end, here I am, your maidservant. Let it be so. Today, Jesus Christ, he doesn't live in Mary anymore. He lived there for 9 months, 40 weeks. He wants to live in your heart. Are you going to let him in your heart? That's what this is all about. Many of us here know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, but some of us might not. The reason he was born is not so we can have a Christmas tree. The Christmas tree has nothing to do with the Bible. Presents under the tree, the Yuletide and all the eggnog have nothing to do with the Bible. Santa Claus, I'm sorry to break it to you, has nothing to do with the Bible. Everything we do on Christmas that is commercial has nothing to do with the Bible. And some of the people who sing those songs don't even know Jesus themselves that we see on TV. It's all about this baby who was born so he can die. That's what this angel came to tell Mary. Mary, this plan has been in place since before the foundations of the earth. I know because I've been with God. And look what it says. Verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I do not know a man. I've never been with a man intimately. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And the one who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Not only did the angel tell Mary she was going to be born, not only did Jesus was going to be born, not only did the angel tell her her son's name, but he told her son's mission. He's going to be the Son of God. He is going to come and die for the sins of the world. Today, we have an opportunity to ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. Today, we have an opportunity to say, Lord, you've already forgiven me, but you know what? I want to make a commitment that I'm going to live like you forgave me. I'm going to make a commitment that I want to live like I know what this is all about. That's what I want to do today. Our years seem to go by, especially as old people. Our years seem to go by quick now, don't they? It's 2004. I remember when I was graduating high school in 1978. I remember the class of 80. 80? That was like the new millennium. And now my daughter goes around the house saying, 05, 05. She's graduating 05. So she's got this little, she wants me to say, 05. Before we know it, it'll be 1-5, 2-5. My father turned 69 in 2 days, and he's going to be 70 next year. I said, Dad, you're going to be 70. You're going to be 70 years old. He goes, I don't know what happened. He said, I got sick, and then I got well, and I was 70. And then he says to me, you're going to be 70 one day. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to go from 69 to 71. You know what? But when do we make a decision that we're really, really going to live for God? Not just going to pray a prayer and come to church on Easter and Christmas. That we're really going to live for God. We're really going to step out by faith and lay it all on the line for Him in every area of our life. That's our challenge. We all know this story. The heathen know this story. Everybody knows this story. Matter of fact, the Red Cross in Britain, they banned talking about Jesus in their Christmas advertisements. They don't want to offend anybody. The Muslim clerics in Britain told the Red Cross, you don't need to go that far. Like, what are you doing? Even the Muslim says, you can't do that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what are they thinking? But you know what? We may know the story, but do we live the story? Look what it says in verse 36. Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this now is the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, your maidservant of the Lord. Here I am. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed. You know what? The angel couldn't leave. Well, I shouldn't say that. The angel didn't leave until she says, I got the message. Let's go. What the angel said right before that is God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Today, God wants to begin something new in your life. Or He wants to continue what you started, but to another level of intensity. He wants to bless you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to transform your life. Doesn't matter how old you are. Daniel was 70-something years old when he got thrown in the lion's den. If I'm Daniel, after all I've been through since I was a kid, he was kidnapped as a kid. His parents were probably killed as a kid. He was kidnapped as a kid, teenager, and he was faithful, and he'd been through four kings. Here he is 70 years old, and God's saying, now you got to go in the lion's den? He's like, God, get one of those young guys. They still haven't learned the stuff I learned. God said, no, you don't understand. I'm still working on you. You don't understand. This is going to be fun. Them young guys will be too fidgety. They'd probably get eaten. You're so old and crusty, you'll just lay down and go to sleep. God wants to do something in your life that's impossible. Forgive you of your sin. Deliver you from an addiction. Heal your marriage. Renew your mind. He wants to do something in your life that's impossible. For with God, nothing is impossible. Mary, are you ready? Are you ready for God to do something impossible? And what does she say? So be it. And the angel says, good. My job is done. Goodbye. Let God do something impossible for you today. For some of you, it's salvation. He wants to forgive you of your sin. For some of you, it's some of those other things I talked about. He wants to use you in a more powerful way. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and I want you to search your heart. Lord, 2003, I remember Y2K. You remember that? We were all going to be farmers again. The lights were going out. The computers were going out. I remember I was buying a house that year, and this guy went to the lot, and he was looking, saying if I had to defend my house with rocks, I was on a good spot. If people were going to come steal my food, it was that crazy. And I was like, brother, no one's coming up my house to steal my food. He goes, where are you going to plant your crops? Remember that? That was 4 years ago. And now God's saying, listen, stop watching the clock go by and get on my train. I lived in Mary's womb. Let me live in your heart. Let me live in your finances. Let me live in your relationship. Let me live in your house. Let me live in your business. I want it all, God says. I want to bless it all. And don't limit what I can do. The best present you can give is God, your heart. It's the best present you can give. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you're God. We thank you that you love us according to your love and not our goodness. But Lord, we still have a responsibility to be holy, set aside, obedient, we have a responsibility to learn your word, to pray, to love our enemies, and love you. And dear God, I thank you for being so faithful to us this year. We've moved around to hotels, to OAT, to this courtyard, and you've always blessed us. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Lord, I want to pray a special blessing on the rock. I pray that you give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I pray as this new year is upon us, a week away, that you would stir in our hearts a desire to learn your word, to obey your word, to study your word. Please do that in our lives, Lord. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight who's never asked you to be their Savior, and they want to, this Christmas 2003, to give their heart to you as their present to you. If you would like Jesus to forgive you of your sin, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't cleanse my sin myself, but I know you can. I believe you died and rose from the dead. Please forgive me, Lord, of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again, God. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. But if you prayed that prayer, what you just told God is, God, I give my life to you. I am no longer mine. I belong to you now. I know with that comes challenge. I know with that comes blessing. But I know ultimately I just need to obey. So right now, if you pray that prayer and you ask Jesus to be your Savior, just right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand to your feet and we can see you and pray for you. Anybody here tonight? God spoke to you. And you're speaking back to him, telling him you want him to forgive you. Lord, I thank you that everybody here is saved. I pray that to be true. And Lord, I pray that we, as the church, would faithfully obey you. I pray that we would honor you with our lives. And Lord, as the new year comes, we get to start over. I pray that we would take time between now and January 1st to readjust our heart towards God, to readjust our schedule, our budget, our time, our resources, our relationships, that it would all honor God. That we would set more time aside for God, more of our thoughts, more of our plans, that we would schedule him in regularly. And that in 2004, I can't even say it, at 2004, we would give God more. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I do want to encourage you, be God people this year. Let him challenge you this next week before we start next year. And ask him what he wants you to do, who he wants you to be. I know many of us make plans and budgets and all that stuff at the beginning of the year. Ask God. Tell God, God, like Mary said, here I am. What do you want to do? Whatever you say, I'm yours. Say that to God. Give God 1 year of your life like you never have before. In January, we're going to start reading through the whole Bible. Come faithfully. Go to the Bible with us. Study the Bible. Read it every day. Challenge God. Dare God. Dare God to prove himself right. How do you do that? It's very simple. God, I'm going to do everything I can to obey, and I'm going to watch to see if my life's different. God would love for you to do that. I'm going to say it again. God, I'm going to do everything I know to do right, and I'm going to read this Bible every day. I'm going to learn more, and I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to do everything you want me to do, and I'm going to watch to see what you do. God says in Malachi, as far as tithing, test me. So if you could test God, say, God, I'm gonna pray every day. I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to consult the Word of God when I have a decision, and I'm going to watch to see what you do. I dare you to do that. Remember that? Step over that line. Knock that stick off my shoulder. I dare you. I dare you to lay out on the line for God this year. Watch what he does. That's what I'm doing. I'm so jacked up. I got 7 more days. It has cost me hours. Not cost me. I spent hours reorganizing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, minute by minute. Here's how I'm going to maximize my time. Because next year is going to be a year. I'm saying that to God. God, I'm going to do more. I'm going to be more obedient than ever before. And I'm going to watch what you do. God's like, bring it, chump. Let's see what you got. Do that in your own way. Come back to me in a year. If you tell me, if you say, I did everything obedient to God and he didn't do anything, I will never preach again. I will never preach again. Now, if you come and say, I did everything and I lost this, I lost that, I'm going to say, okay, so, and your point is, that's not the measure. The measure is, did you meet with God? I was in a prison. I was in juvenile detention center. I was telling these 30 gang members a story about a kid who I used to know when he was a little kid. His name was Danny. He was red hair. He was real pale. He was technically white on his birth certificate, but he was so pale, he was clear. You could see right through his skin. He was like just red hair, red freckles, real. And he used to go on missionary trips with us to Mexico, preach the gospel. And when he was 12 or 14, he got involved with a gang, and he got into a life of crime, and he went away from the Lord. I was telling these gang members a story about this kid. And they said in unison, this is right here on Genesee, right here in San Diego. They said, that's Danny. They didn't even say his name. They knew his name. They said, he's down the hall. He was in a cell down the hall. They got him out the cell. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. Some of the other ones I make up, but this is not one of them. But you know what I got. He came in and walked down, had tattoos, head from here all the way up, tattoos. He had gotten involved with Mexican gangs. He started looking like he was Mexican, but he was a little white, Opie-looking kid. Opie. And he came walking in all like this with a scowl on his face, and he walked up to me, gave me a hug. He knew me. I knew as soon as we knew. And he sat down in the front row. Broke my heart. The devil got him. I said, Danny, I got one question for you. And this is my question to you. You remember when you used to do ministry? Yeah. You remember when we used to go to Mexico and feed the poor and preach the gospel? Yeah. Remember when we used to go to church every week? Yeah. He's trying to be all cool in front of all these dudes. I said, Danny, are you happier now that you're doing what the devil wants than you were before? Are you happier now being in jail, doing drugs, all the stuff you do, than you were walking with God? If you say you're happier now, I will never preach again. This is what I said. Well, obviously you know what he said, because I'm still preaching. He said, I was happy before. Of course you were. You can't be happier. You can't be happier without God than with God. You can't. Now, if you got this much God, and you're happy, and you're doing fine, imagine if you had this much God. And some of you are going to say, I can't, so I'm not going to try. Try. Imagine. I want this much God. You know how much God gave you? This much. They nailed his hands open. He couldn't have made his heart any bigger. That's what he wants from you. Amen? Let's stand and sing a song. Happy Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.